So just a quick review from chapter 10. Our key thought there was, what was the heart of this? And we came away from that with, I believe it was, love God with all that you have, love others, including those that are tough to love, love your enemies. We came away from that study that really everybody's our neighbor when you look at the scripture that we looked at. So we're to love all. And the only way we can do that is with the love of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that woven throughout chapter 10 was the fact that the heart of it all is the fact that Jesus paid it all. And he came because sin separates us from God, and that needs to be taken care of, and that's why Jesus came, and we're to proclaim that message. And then we were also reminded, though, that we are not responsible for the results. We just have to be faithful to share. Mm-hmm. And that was the heart of it last week. And this week, I really felt that the message the Lord has for us is a heart check. And you might be going, what? These scriptures were so hard, and you're coming up with a heart check? How could that be possible coming out of this? But I'm really hoping that the Lord is going to put this together, because that's what I felt he gave me. So when we find ourselves here, I feel as we look at these different sections of scripture from, you know, teach us to pray to how do we deal with a friend, to a house being divided, the unclean spirits, to all of the woes that Jesus proclaimed. Where's our heart? And I think that's what he has us doing through this, is he's given us a heart check. So let's dig in and try and put this all together and hopefully get some of our questions answered. So in verse number one, we see Jesus doing something that he's often done. We've talked about the fact that we need to make sure that we're doing this, that we are getting away alone and praying with the Father, right? And so the disciple, it says it came to pass, and he was praying in a certain place, as he often did, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And so I believe the key phrase here is, teach us to pray, okay? They saw Jesus do it often. He got away, and it was a time, you know, where I believe vision is refreshed. I was often in a secluded place. It was often alone, and he got with the Father, and the Father either instructed him or told what's next, you know, maybe reassured him of what he was, you know, the purpose, you know, the heart of it. Whatever the case was, he got away, he came back, and moved on in ministry. We also saw, I believe it was in chapter 9 that we looked at, where the 5,000 were fed, right? We saw him look to the Father, bless the food, and what was the result? 2 fish and 5 loaves were multiplied. And so the disciples saw that. Wow, that's pretty amazing. He looks to the Father, and this little bit of food fed everybody, and not just that, there was a lot to spare, you know. And we talked about how it was, they didn't just get a little bit to eat. They were satisfied, and that satisfied was beyond even what they needed. So they're looking at Jesus, and they're looking, and they're seeing answers to prayer. And they're like, wow, there is something to this. Now, remember, when they met Jesus, which wasn't really that long ago, they were fishermen, most of them. They were lawyers. They were tax collectors. They were some of the most reviled people around, right? And so they're just watching, and they're learning, and they're like, there is something to prayer. And so they see him. He comes down, and this one particular disciple says, Lord, teach us to do that, right? And so he says to them, well, he says, when you pray, and he lays out, now we know if you've come out of organized religion, you probably have a version of this memorized. You were told that you had to say countless numbers of these to be forgiven if you ever went to repentance or whatever, you know, but so it's not necessarily the words here, but it's the heart of it here in this. It's a pattern to follow. It's not that we should memorize this and just from memory just repeat it and repeat it and repeat it. He's saying this is the manner in which you should pray. And I believe he gets across through here that it's relationship, right? It's not about religion. It's about a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so teach us to pray. And so he gives them a model to follow in their prayers. First off, he's going to remind them of who it is that they are praying to. And we need to know that with our heart check. Do we realize who we are praying to? We are praying to the Almighty, Holy God, and He deserves to be revered, right? Yeah, so right off the bat, he says, when you pray, remember who you're praying to. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Okay, you know, I don't know about you, but I have been around enough people that I've heard him referred to, the big guy in the sky, you know, at dinner times, rub dub, thank you for the grub. To me, that is very irreverent prayer, yeah. You know. And so he's not the big guy in the sky, you know, but he's referred to as that. And but Jesus is saying, know who you're praying to, remember who he is. And that is how you should start out your prayers, you know, just Father God, you know, Heavenly Father, and praise, right? So who are we praying to? Heart check. Do we remember who we're praying to? Next, whose will do we want to be accomplished, right? Sometimes we just jump into our prayers with, I need this, Lord, or whatever, you know. Sometimes prayer comes when we are in a terrible place and we're in a fix and we just want him to help us get out and we jump right in, but remembering who we're praying to and that we want his will to be done. You know, sometimes we find people, Lord, if you get me out of this, I will A, B, C, and D. And then that's a hard thing to follow when people do that. But when we're praying, does our heart want his will to be done? Because it goes on to say, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so we want to make sure that we're saying, Lord, I want this to be done, but not my will, but your will be done. And we saw Jesus even give us that example in the Garden of Gethsemane just before his death when he said, Lord, I'd like this cup to pass from me. This is going to be really hard. But nevertheless, what you want is what I want. And so he was willing to go through that, and he prayed that way. You know, I'll tell you, when we went to see Betty yesterday, you know what? I love her to pieces. She has been an example of a godly woman, a godly wife. Day number one of our coming down here, taking us under her wing, you know. And those of you who don't know Betty, you know, she's just a wonderful woman. And, you know, taken aback when I walked in her house yesterday, you know, by the physical state that she's in. But however, the spiritual state that she's in is amazing. God is so good. She wants his will, you know. Her desire is to be with her father, you know, and her kids that have gone before her. She's had three go before her, but You know, and sometimes it's hard to know what to pray, you know. My Arwaza here, I love her, you know. Gonna miss her to pieces when she goes. But not my will, your will, you know. And sometimes I think, you know, prayer is our communication with our Father. Yet our prayer meetings are often empty. Mm-hmm. Why is that? Because where are our hearts? I think we forget who we're praying to. I think we forget that we're asking for His will to be done in different situations. There's a reason I asked for these prayer requests, and I hope that we're faithful to be praying for these over the weeks that we're separated, you know, so when we gather together, we can either encourage one another to press on in them, or to hear the praises, or to hear God's no's, because sometimes that's His will, is a no in these requests. But He is faithful, you know. And I think sometimes we don't pray because either we don't know what to pray, or we're afraid we're going to sound silly or whatever. We're not eloquent. I'm not eloquent of words, but God knows who we're praying for, and He knows what their need is. He knows the very hairs of everyone's head. He knows that need. And so even if we don't say it right, He still is going to answer. Mm-hmm. Right? You know what? So as far as Betty's concerned, I don't know what to pray. You know, she wants to go. I want her to stay, you know. But you have a friend, somebody, you love them. Lord, I love them. You love them more. Your will be done, you know. I'm praying for your will. I'm praying for you to be merciful, whatever that means, you know. And so I encourage you, join the prayer meetings. Your words don't need to be eloquent. You know, it's just talking to your Father. It doesn't matter what anybody else sitting around thinks of what you're praying. What matters is what your Father thinks and where is your heart, all right? It's a heart check. Are we communicating with our Father? Do we know who He is, and do we want His will to be done? We got to tell Him, right? He wants to hear us. And then He wants us, you know, to ask for things. We see in the second section here, the friend who comes at midnight, he needs bread. And he's going and he's starting in verse 5, knocking on his friend's door. I need bread because I have company, you know. And God is telling us here, and in the asking, seeking, knocking section after that, that He's a good Father and He's going to give us what we need. And we should be willing to do that as well. But he says, you know, if you come to me, I'm going to answer, right? And I'm going to give a good answer. I'm going to give the best answer to what you're asking for. Might not be what you want, but it's going to be what's best, okay? So give us this day our daily bread, whatever that means, you know. Maybe it's a little today. Maybe it's abundant today. But You're our provider, and He teaches us to ask for and be thankful for His provision. And then the heart of it, are we able to forgive others like He's forgiven us, right? And that's key in prayer. You know, if we don't want to come to prayer, if we have hardness in our heart, if we have sin issues going on, you know what sin does? It separates us from our Father. It quenches what's going on. And so we need to deal with what's going on in our hearts. We have to have a heart check when we go into prayer, right? You know who we're praying to. Know what we're asking for, and that it's His will to be done. And make sure, Lord, check us over, you know. And if I have an issue with somebody, Lord, help me to take care of that, right? Because You took care of this heart. So I should be willing to take care of any other issue that's on this plane, right? Because He's taking care of the biggest issue of all, which is the sinner's heart. And that is the heart of worship in our prayer, right? We have a Savior. We have a Father who sent His Son, who loves us that much, that we has forgiven us much, and so we can forgive much. Lord, I have a hard time forgiving sometimes, so help me to forgive like You. Help me to love with the love of Jesus, right? And he lead us not into temptation, right? But deliver us from the evil one. Now, I'll tell y'all, Keith gave an amazing message at our church yesterday on defeating Satan. And obviously, it's not us to defeat Satan. That is a finished work of Jesus on the cross. However, there are things that we need to be aware of and need to be mindful of as far as Satan is concerned. And if you have any time at all, I encourage you to get on Calvary Chapel's website and listen to the message yesterday. Okay. But it was,
I did it twice. That's how good.
Yeah.
I'll listen to it tonight.
Yeah.
I'll listen to it.
It was excellent and straight on right here. Lead us not into temptation, right? Help us with our biggest issue, sin, right? You know, and as we go on in these scriptures, throughout, we see sin being an issue here, right? We have the friend who might not want to get out of bed because someone's knocking on their door. I'd rather not give you my loaf of bread at midnight. However, I'll give you my loaf of bread at midnight. But we see the house divided. You know, Jesus is casting out demons. And the multitudes are looking and marveling. And but people are like, how does he possibly have the ability to do this? And so it starts coming out, well, it's because he's a Beelzebub, right? You know, basically saying he is doing this because he is of the devil, right? Well, why on earth would a demon want to cast a demon out? And that's what these scriptures are saying. That would be ridiculous. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It would not. That would be ridiculous. And so Jesus shares here that a kingdom divided against itself would be brought to desolation. And so that is not how he is doing that, and that it is of God, and that he has come to do this. And he talks about the strong man being fully armed and guarding the palace and there's just, you see this battle here going on between the strong and the stronger. But it's all who we trust in, right? We trust in the strongest. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Okay. And again, so that house divided cannot stand. We see then him talk about the unclean spirit returning. And you know, this is key. When we look at this, the end of this prayer, lead us not into temptation. And we look at this set of scriptures starting in verse 24 about the unclean spirit returning. It says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first state. Now,
yes, wait a minute.
I'm going to relate this to sin, okay? I think the best way to do that is to relate it to sin, to issues. I know this is talking about unclean spirits and how if a spirit is cast out, if that person doesn't deal with their heart and it's not a salvation that has taken place, well, let me tell you, the devil's got a foothold and he'll come back stronger than ever. But in relation to our heart check and in relation to lead us not into temptation, my tongue is getting tied on that word every time, but deliver us from the evil one, I want to look at this in a matter of sin, okay? Because when we deal with sin, often we're like, woohoo, I conquered this, right? And we think it's done and over, and we don't take it to battle, right? The enemy knows our weaknesses. And if we have something that we struggle with, he knows it. And just because we've dealt with it once doesn't mean the devil forgets that. He's going to bring that thing back up and back up and back up. And let me tell you, if we're not careful, we are into that worse than we were before, right? Listen to this last statement here. The last state of the man is worse than the first. All right? We dabble in sin, might not be too bad. We deal with it, and however we deal with it, if it's not true repentance, guess what? Or if we start practicing that thing again, it becomes really bad, and it's usually worse. And I'm going to give a couple scenarios here. One is kind of a silly scenario, but then the next one I'm going to give you a serious scenario in this. You know what? Most of you know I'm a fan of Coca-Cola, okay? So I enjoy my Coca-Cola. Fred even announced it from the pulpit once that I was a Coke addict, okay? And I said, please, everybody know that it would be of the cola variety, okay? Because we were being taped at the time. It was quite amusing. So I often go through phases where I am like, you know what? I need to give this up. It is just not good for me, the amount of sugar that I drink, right? So I give up the soda. I'm like, woohoo! I've gone a month without soda. Well, guess what? I go to a fast food restaurant, something, whatever. I have a taste. And guess what? It's like I then can't get enough. It's like all I want is soda. I even start thinking about it when there's none in the house, right? I'm like, man, I wish I had a soda. Didn't I even say it the other day? We were playing Foursquare, and I'm like, I really want a soda. I have one stashed. I do have one stashed in the house. That's a bad thing. Don't mess with your issues, all right? Don't stash it somewhere. But Hannah says she'll drink it for me. She'll help me out. But anyways, when I get a taste for it again, I want more and more and more. And before I know it, I'm drinking 2, 3, 4 cans a day, all right? And whereas before I stopped having it, and before I got that little taste again, I'd maybe drink one a day. But then I get back to it, and it's like, it's like, so, yeah, it is.
Really,
and so, you know, that one's a little silly, but I do want to tell you, but it's how it works. And all of our issues are different. So whether it's something like Coca-Cola or whether it's something like, let's say, pornography or let's say illegal drugs, right? Or whatever issue we deal with, we dabble with it a little and eventually it becomes a big issue. But if we deal with it, you know, in the right way and repent from it, God's going to give us strength. But we have to keep coming to Him, or that strong pull is going to come back, you know. So we need to know what our strongholds are, and we need to be aware of it. And don't put yourself in that place, Lord. And here, it's, Lord, lead me not into temptation. And sometimes I think He's going, I'm trying to lead you not into temptation, right? But you're making it awful difficult, right? With alcohol, whatever. Pornography. Let me tell you, it's not just a guy issue, okay? I've heard studies. One in 3 men in the church are addicted to pornography. 1 in 6 women, okay, are addicted to pornography. Okay, I know that seems strange, but it happens, okay?
And it's with books and stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be what we're choosing to read, something in the story, some pleasure we get out of them. But addictions, you know, and here's the scenario. I'm going to give you a tough scenario, right? We know a gentleman who as a teenager was addicted to heroin, and several times he was able to conquer this addiction. And even went into a rehab. A Christian rehab, was away for months in rehab, came, moved to a new city, moved into a new house, and guess who was living upstairs? Our enemy knows our buttons, right? How to tempt us. A drug dealer was living upstairs.
Oh,
and before he knew it, he had this guy hooked again, and it was years of dealing with this. And the addiction became stronger and stronger and stronger. And this man almost lost his wife and children. He almost lost his life. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you, if you look at heroin as an addiction where when you first try it, you need this much, and each next time you need more and more and more. This man should not be alive today. He is alive today because he allowed Jesus finally to deal with his heart, and his marriage is restored and his life is restored. But let me tell you, the state, the last state of the man before this most recent time of restoration was far worse. You know, we found him sitting in his car ready to commit suicide. You know, there was a time when he woke up from a heroin-induced state where somebody was sitting on his chest, pounding on his chest because his heart had stopped. Okay, that's what this is talking about. The first state might not be too bad. We deal with it, but then it comes back in if we don't deal with it for real with the Lord, right? We think it's conquered, whatever, but those strongholds come in, and if we don't deal with it, if we're not careful, if we're not in prayer constantly, it can come back in, and it is much worse later on than at the beginning. So, Lord, lead us not into temptation. Teach us to pray, Lord. Mm-hmm. Lead us not into temptation. Help us. When we hear those voices in our head saying, I wouldn't do that, we'd be wise to listen, okay? He gives us, the scriptures tell us, he gives us a way of escape every single time, every single time, every single time. He gives us a way of escape. We have a friend whose husband had an affair, is now married to the woman he had an affair with, and met the woman, counseling her. That's why you will never see us counsel alone. If you ask for counseling, Fred and I counsel together. If they want to speak just to men, Fred will, you know, it's whatever. It's never alone, right? But these ones, they did it alone. Bad news, right? Mm-hmm. And they've been asked, the guy's been asked, did you have a way of, didn't God give you a way of escape? Oh, yeah. That I heard him clearly. I didn't want it. Mm-hmm. He always gives a way of escape. But that, the second state is worse than the first, right? So, warning there. Be careful, right? We clean our house. Keep it clean, you know. Beware of what you've gotten rid of and keep it out, you know. And don't go to the places that tempt you. If you're an alcoholic, don't go to the bar. If you have issues with heroin, I'd say stay away from the drug dealer. Somehow they seem to know how to find you. But, you know, have people with you who can support you. If pornography is your issue, confess it to somebody. Have an accountability partner, you know, somebody you can talk to. Whatever the case is, you know, drink my bottle of stashed Coca-Cola, you know, whatever it is, you know, God's given you the people in your life to help you, you know, to be accountable to. We love you. God is good. God is great. His Holy Spirit is great, but he's also placed people in your life who to help us to be accountable to. So use those people. He tells us here in verse 28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. No way to hear his word if you're not in it. Make sure you're in his word. However, you can do it. Individually, your own personal quiet times, online, at a study like this. Do it, do it, do it. Don't ever think it's enough. All right. Or don't ever think it's too much. People might say to you who are in the world who don't get it, you are always at church. You're always at studies. You're always whatever. Woohoo. Good for you. Keep it up. Right. It's the best place for you to be in his word. Keep it. Right. Because that's how we know how to stay away from temptation, right? That's how we learn the enemy's ploys. That's where we learn resist and run, you know, turn and run, whatever. Turn and repent. We learn from the scriptures. Be in it. Be in it. Hear the word and keep it. That means do it. Don't just hear it, but do it. James, be mm-hmm. doers of the word, not just hearers only. And be careful of what you're seeking, right? The next section of scripture is talking about seeking signs. You know what? Signs aren't what sustain us, right? I remember early on, and I got saved when I was in college, and early on in my walk, I really struggled after getting saved. And I remember talking to part of my path of salvation was InterVarsity Christian Fellowship, a campus ministry. And I went to a Bible study there. I was brought up Catholic, knew Jesus as a good guy, didn't quite understand who he really was. And so I went to one Bible study, and it was all about Jesus and the Father are one. And it was like, bing, right? Got saved that night. And, but I struggled after that because of my upbringing. And I remember talking to the leader of InterVarsity, and he said to me, Karen, what do you want? I'm like, I want to see Jesus. He's like, you know what? There were a whole lot of people who saw Jesus. They saw the signs, and still it wasn't enough, right? They were intrigued. They were marveled. They marveled, whatever, but never changed their heart, mm-hmm. And he brought me to the scriptures of blessed are those who haven't seen yet believe, right? So be careful of seeking signs for your answers. God is faithful. We know of Gideon, right? He needed some help to believe. And sometimes we need that nudge, and God is faithful to do that, but don't depend on that. I had a time where I needed one of those. I put out a Gideon fleece, and believe me, God was beyond faithful in answering dealing with my fleece, but it's not something we should depend on. There was a time that I had found a lump, and I actually had a dream, and I was ignoring it. I had a dream, and I had a dream that I went to the doctor, and sure enough, there was a lump there. And when I woke up out of this dream, I was like, Lord, I thought that wasn't an issue. And I checked, and I felt a lump exactly where I was in the dream. And so I'm one of these people who was like, well, maybe if I ignore it, it'll go away type things, right? Same thing with my heart, right? Years and years and years of dealing with heart issues that I didn't say anything because I thought it would go away if I just didn't say anything. Don't ever do that. It's not wise, okay? So I remember asking the Lord, if I need to go see a doctor at church in the morning, would you have somebody come up to me and ask me how my health is? It's not your normal greeting at church, right? Mm-hmm. So we got to church, and not only did God bring somebody to me, he brought somebody who didn't even fellowship at that church, mm-hmm. came in, I hadn't seen for years, saw me in the hallway and went, hey, Karen, how's your health? I was like, oh. God is faithful. Everything came out all right. I went 5 different hands, felt that lump, and when I finally made it to the doctor, it was gone. So praise God, he was good with that. But you know what? I don't recommend asking for the fleece. However, he is faithful. He'll deal with it. But he tells us not to look for signs and wonders, because they're not lasting. Don't do that. He talks about our eyes being the lamp of our body, right? What goes in these? We hold on to those, right? What we look at, what we set our eyes on, so we need to be careful where our eyes are. Mm-hmm. I know talking to various men, who have, as teens, you know, and you're looking at magazines and things like that, those images from their teens, and they're now in their 50s and 60s, those images stick. So be careful, you know, the song, be careful, little eyes, what you see. It's true, true, true. Be careful, you know, heart check. What am I doing? What am I thinking? Where's my heart? Where am I going? What am I allowing my eyes to look upon, right? Is it good or is it full of darkness, you know? Where are our eyes looking? Where's our heart? Hopefully it's on the word and it's on light and we're bringing light in, right? And I think God nails, right, hits the nail on the head here as he finishes this out, as he's given woes to all these guys, right? We've got the Pharisees, we got the lawyers, and he's saying, you know what? You're a bunch of hypocrites. And that's what this section is all about. It's about hypocrisy, right? We can be very fake, all right? Hey, how you doing? Great. But inside you're going, man, I could really use help with this. I'm really struggling with this, but you don't want to say it, right? You don't want people to really know what's going on. Man, I am struggling with this sin. You know what? Remember this warning. The last state of the man is worse than the first. You know what? I'm struggling with this. I need help. Say it to somebody. Where's your heart? Because you don't want to get to that worst state, right? Get it out. Deal with it. We're all sinners, right? We all have a propensity to sin. What we're bent on might be different, but sin is sin. Find somebody you trust. Be accountable to them. Have them be accountable to whatever you need, you know? But don't hold on to it. Don't think you're going to tackle this on your own, right? The strong man, he's strong, right? Mm-hmm. He's crafty, makes it look pleasurable, you know? Be careful. Whoa, we don't want to be like these Pharisees and these lawyers, right? We don't want it to look all good on the outside when it's not all bad on the inside, right? Or we've got something going on the inside, right? Sin separates us from our Father, right? It doesn't take our salvation away, but it sure puts a wedge in there. Mm-hmm. We want that wedge out. Mm-hmm. So we don't want to be hypocrites, right? Deal with what's going on. Be in his word. Do those heart checks. And I think this all strung together, you know, from the beginning to the end, on where's your heart? So when you think of the Our Father, as we used to call it, think of it as a pattern, you know, a pattern to pray. Think of it as a heart check. You know who you're praying to. Remember who you're praying to. He's a holy God, mm-hmm. worthy of all praise and adoration and reverence. Mm-hmm. What's prayer all about? Communication with him, right? He loves to hear from us. Mm-hmm. And he wants to answer us according to his will. Mm-hmm. We need to be okay with his will, mm-hmm. right? About worship. Part of our life is worship. Our life is worship, and it's an act of worship to God, and prayer is an act of worship to God. And ask yourself, why don't we pray? Why don't we pray more? You know, where's our heart? And I'm just going to close with that. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. Thank you for this chapter. Mm-hmm. Thank you for opening our eyes, to your goodness, to the things that you have for us, Lord. I pray that, some questions were answered, but continue to answer. Lord, may we never be ashamed to come with you with our questions, because the only bad question is the one that's not asked, because you have answers for them all, and we thank you for that. Continue to open our understanding as we go through this book, Lord, and as now we have our discussion, Lord. Continue to have your way among us. We praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.